Today we'd like to see the title over concerning Samaria and Jerusalem in Micah chapters 1 to 3. To the souls on this online world through MP3 or YouTube challenges, we'd like to suggest the three exposition questions. Number one, in Micah chapter 1 verse 8, therefore I will wail and howl, I will go stripped and naked, I will make a wailing like the jackals and a mourning like the ostrich. What does it mean in the context and what can we learn from here? Question 2, in Micah chapter 2 verse 7, you who are named the house of Jacob, in the spirit of the Lord restricted, are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him who walks uprightly? What does it mean in the context and what can we learn from here? Last question, in Micah chapter 3 verse 5, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who make my people stray, who chant peace while they chew with their teeth, but who prepare war against him, who puts nothing into their mouths. What does it mean in the context and how can we apply it to our lives? Book of Micah's prophet Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah. Ministers around 768 before Christ, you may see the following chart. His message was directed primarily to Judah, though it also addressed Israel. During the period Judah prophesied under the reign of Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, however, Ahaz was among the most wicked kings of Judah. Chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Micah over Moresheth in the day of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, king of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Book of Micah opens during the reign of Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah of Judah. Micah came from Moresheth, a Judean village near Gath on the border of Philistia. He was a contemporary of Isaiah and ministered during the same general period. The cross-reference Isaiah 1:1. 2:3, hear all your people, listen on earth, and all that is in it. Let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord is coming out of his place. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. Micah called all peoples and the whole earth to hear the testament of the Lord. God was pictured as coming down in judgment upon the high places, referring to idolatrous worship centers built on the mountains. The cross reference here, 2 Kings 7:10-10. The passage also foreshadows the future worldwide judgments of the Great Tribulation, described in Revelation chapters 6 up to 18, verses 4 to 7. The mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will split like wax before the fire, like waters poured down a steep place. All this is for the transgression of Jacob and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah and they not Jerusalem? Therefore, I will make Samaria a heap of ruins in the field, places for planting a vineyard. I will pour down her stones into the valley, and I will uncover her foundations, and her carved images shall be beaten to pieces, and all her pay as a harlot shall be burned with the fire. All her idols I will lay desolate, for she gathered the earth from the pay of her harlot, and they shall return to pay of her harlots. The melting mountains and the split valleys symbolize the severity of God's judgment against Israel and Judah because of their sins and idolatry. Samaria, the capital of Israel, Jerusalem, the capital of Judah, had become centers of corruption and false worship. Micah prophesied that Samaria would be destroyed down to the foundations, becoming desolate like a vineyard field. This prophecy was literally fulfilled when Assyria destroyed Samaria in 722 before Christ. That's a cross of 2 Kings 75:6. Today, the ruins of Samaria still testify to God's judgment until Messiah's ultimate return. Verse 8, therefore I will wail in the hole, I will go stripped and naked, I will make a wailing like the jackals and a mourning like the ostrich. This question 1. Micah mourned deeply over the coming destruction, much like Jerusalem wept over Jerusalem, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 10. And Jesus Christ wept over the future destruction while Jesus' earthly ministry over Jerusalem by Rome, that cross reference. God's servants grieve when people persist on the path leading to judgment. Verse 9, for her wounds are incurable, for it has come to Judah, it has come to gates of my people to Jerusalem. Samaria's spiritual corruption had become incurable and spread even to Judah, Jerusalem. This likely points to Assyrian invasion under Sennacherib in 700 before Christ, when Jerusalem itself was threatened, the cross reference there. Scripture warns that persistent hardness of heart can eventually reach a point without remedy. That's a severe judgment. Verses 10 to 12. Tell it not in Gath, weep not at all in Beth Aphra. Roll yourself in the dust, pacify in naked shame, you inhabitant of Shafir. The inhabitant of Jehannon does not go out, but Ezel mourns, the place to stand is taken away from you. For the inhabitant of Maroth find for good, but he just came down from the Lord to the gate of Jerusalem. Micah used the poetic word plays on the names of several cities to portray their coming judgment. For example, Shaphar sounds like the Hebrew word for pleasant. Yet people would experience shame and humiliation. Jannan resembled the Hebrew word meaning to come out, but its inhabitant would be afraid to come out of the city. Maroth sounds like a word bitter, reflecting the bitterness and suffering that would come upon it. Through this word plays, Micah vividly emphasized humiliation, mourning, fear, and bitterness as the Assyrian invasion advanced towards Jerusalem. The Assyrian king Sennacherib also recorded this military campaign against Judah in his historical record. Verse 13, O inhabitants of Lachish, harness the chariot to the ship. She was the beginning of a sin to the daughter of a giant, for the transgressions of Israel were found in you. Lachish fortified a Judean city near Philistines, suffered greatly during Assyrian invasion. Micah condemned it as a source of sinful influence because the sins of Israel had spread there. The verse also contains a Hebrew word play connected with horses and chariots. Some believe the city was associated with the idolatrous practice connected to horses dedicated to sun worship. That's a cross-reference right there. Verse 14, therefore you shall give a present to Moresh the god. The house of Akib shall be allied to the king of Israel. Moresh the god was Micah's hometown. The prophets announced the coming loss and separation because of God's judgment upon Judah. Verse 15, I will yet bring an heir to you, O inhabitant of Moresh. The glory of Israel shall come to Adullam. Micah declared that the conquerors would come against Moresh, yet biblical prophecy does not end in darkness. Even amid judgment, God promised the future restoration and hope for his people. Verse 16, make yourself bald, cut off your hair because of your precious children, enlarge your boldness like an eagle, for they shall go from you into captivity. Shaving the head symbolizes deep mourning and grief in the ancient world. Chapter 1, you know, verse 20, that is a reference. Micah described the parents grieving as their children were taken to exile. This was fulfilled in Israel captivity by Assyria, 722 before Christ, and Judah captivity by Babylon in 586 before Christ. Okay, chapter 2, verse 1. Micah condemned the word to those who devise iniquity and work out evil on their beds. At the morning light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. Micah condemned those who plan the evil at night and carry it out in the morning. Their power and influence were used for injustice rather than righteous. The cross reference is some. No good, you know, that one. Verse 2. They covet fields and take them by violence, also houses, and seize them. So they oppress a man and his house, a man and his inheritance. The wealthy abused others by seizing lands and houses through oppression and violence, similar to Arab's seizure of Naboth's vineyard, the cross reference there. God opposes those who exploit others for personal gain. Verse 3-5. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, against this family I am devising disaster, from which you cannot remove your necks, nor shall you walk haughtily. For this is an evil time. In that day one shall take up a proverb against you, and lament with a bitter lamentation, saying, we are utterly destroyed. He has changed the heritage of my people, how he has removed it from me. To return court, he has divided our field. Because the people oppressed others, God declared their judgment to come upon them. The land originally disputed by Lord under Joshua would be taken away from them. Those who stole property from others would themselves lose their inheritance. So initially, according to God's commandment, Joshua divided to tribe. Verse 5, therefore you shall have no one to determine boundaries by Lord in the assembly of the Lord. Verse 6, do not prattle, you say, to those who prophesy, so they shall not prophesy to you. They shall not return insult for insult. The people rejected Micah's warnings and told him not to prophesy. They want to continue in sin without conviction or correction, refusing to be ashamed of their actions. Amos chapter 2, 12, cross reference. You gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophet, saying, do not prophesy. Verse 7. You who are named the house of Jacob in supreme of the Lord is distracted. These his doing, do not my words to good to him who works uprightly. Though this question too, They called themselves the house of Jacob. Their conduct did not reflect Jacob's faith in God. Micah reminded them that God's word benefits those who work uprightly. People cannot control or limit the spirit of the Lord. Micah later summarized what God truly desired from his people: to do justly, to love mercy, and to work humbly with your God rather than oppression and greed. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Verse 8, lately my people have risen up as an enemy. You pull off the robe with the garment from those who trust you as they pass by, like men returned from war. The people had become like enemies against their own brothers, taking advantage of the weak and vulnerable. They enriched themselves through the suffering of others, which God strongly condemned. Verse 9, the women of my people you cast out from their pleasant houses, from their children who have taken away my glory forever. Women and children were driven from their homes and oppressed. The vulnerable were being exploited rather than protected. Verses 10 to 11. That's just not glory. It's actually disglory. Oh God. Disglorifying God. 10 to 11. Arise and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is your father, it shall destroy. Yes, with utter destruction. If a man should walk in false support and speak a lie, saying, I will prophesy to you of a wine and drink, even he would be the prattler of these people. Because the land had become morally polluted, the people would be removed from it. False prophets gained popularity by preaching only pleasant messages and encouraging people to remain comfortable in sin. Scripture likewise warns that in the last day many will gather teachers who tell them only what they want to hear. That is a cross-reference. Verses 12 and 13. I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I'll put them together like a sheep of the fold, like a flock in the midst of their pastures. They shall make a loud noise because of so many people. The one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. Their king will pass before them with the Lord at their head. Despite judgment, God promised the future restoration for the remnant of Israel. He would gather his people like a shepherd gathers his sheep. The breaker and the king who leads them ultimately points to Jesus Christ, who will lead, restore his people. The prophet looks both to return from Babylon captivity and the future reign of the Messiah. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. And I said, hear now, O head of Jacob, and you rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice? You who hate good, love, and evil, who strip the skin from my people and the flesh from their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people, flay their skin from them, break their bones, and chop them in pieces like meat put apart, like a flesh in the cauldron. Michael evoked the rulers and leaders for hating good and loving evil. Instead of protecting the people, they exploited them through injustice and excessive burdens. Leaders are responsible to uphold God's standards, righteousness, and justice. First of all, then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time because they have been evil in their deed. Because of the persistent sin, oppression, God warned that a time would come
when he would no longer answer their cries for help. Isaiah chapter 59, 1 to sin separate people from fellowship with God. Because, close reference. Verse 5, question 3. There says the Lord concerning the prophet who make my people stray, who chant peace while they chew with their teeth, but who prepare war against him, who puts nothing into their mouths. Micah condemned the false prophet who preached peace only when they were paid or rewarded. They adjust God's message to please simple people instead of over-proclaim truth. Jesus warned that the broad way leads to destruction, while the narrow way leads to life. Matthew. Verse 6 to 7. Therefore you shall have nights without vision, and you shall have darkness without divination. The sun shall go down on the prophet, and the day shall be dark for them. So the seers shall be ashamed, and the diviners abashed. Indeed, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. God declared that darkness and shame would come upon the false prophet. Their visions would fail, because God would no longer speak through them. Verse 8, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression, to Israel his sin. Unlike the false prophet, Micah declared that he was filled with power, justice, strength through the Spirit of the Lord. True ministry depends upon the power of the Holy Spirit, not human ability. Book of Acts, chapter 1 to 8, cross reference. 9 to 10, now hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who build up Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with iniquity or sin. The rulers twist justice and build Jerusalem through violence, corruption, oppression. Their wealth and mountain monuments were established through the suffering of the people. Verse 11, her head judge for bribe, her priest teacher for pay, and her prophet divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No harm can come upon us. The leaders accepted the bribes, the priests taught for money, the prophet prophesied for personal gain, while falsely claiming that God was with them. Micah warned against turning ministry into a means of financial manipulation. True service to God must be motivated by love for God, not monetary gain. 1 Peter 5, 2, serving is not corruption, but willingly, not designed to gain money. Verse 12. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed like a field, Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruin, and the mountains of temple like the bare hills of the forest. In Micah's dual prophecy, because of the nation's corruption, injustice, and wicked leadership, Zion and Jerusalem would be destroyed and become desolate. The prophecy was historically fulfilled in 586 before Christ, when Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar II destroyed Jerusalem and temple. Yet prophecy also carried a future warning and spiritual principle. Even the great city of God, once honored and protected, could be plowed like a field if the people continued in sin. The presence of temple itself could not preserve them from divine judgment because of corruption in both worship and government. God's judgment would be sure to come in the great tribulation. God desires honest righteousness and justice, establishing millennial kingdom on Messiah's utterly returning. We covered all the questions. Continuing to keep on prayer for all missionaries to pray request. So especially Iran, United States, so also Ukraine, and so on, those countries, keep on praying for them. Let's just sing all together on brochure, Maranatha song.